Shimu Bonim Musar Ov Vyakshivu Ladaz Bina. Children, listen to the discipline of the father. He's speaking here, Rashi says, he's relating to the Rebbeinu Shalela, the discipline that Hashem teaches us. Vyakshivu Ladaz Bina, and listen to no understanding. Others say that here he's speaking about a teacher. In the previous chapter 3, he was speaking about a father, Bini Terosi Al Tishkochu. And here it says, Shimu Bonim Musar Ov. Listen to the Musar of the father, of the teacher. You could appreciate also there, how do you know one Bini and one Bini? I mean, they're both Bini. But even in the phraseology, you could appreciate it, because in 3, it seems to be more of an intimate, Shimu Bini, my son, right? Musar Ov, your father's teaching. Bini. Torosi al tishkach, my son. Here is a little more formal. Shimu bonin, musar ov. So it's not speaking the intimate father to son personal, but shimu bonin, musar ov. So the ov here is called like the father. Kilekach teiv, so Shlomo HaMelech was like speaking, listen to me because I'm concerned for you. Because kilekach teiv nasati lochem, torosi al tazevu. He's speaking like in the name of God. Either Hashem is saying this or the teacher. Lekach teiv nasati lochem. Terosi al tazevu. I've given you the best present, the best teaching. Do not forsake my Torah. And then he goes in to explain it. V'hakshivu ladas bino. Listen, children, to the discipline of the father. Shimu Boni Musarov. Now the question is, does this relate just to the father or it relates to the Rebbeinu Shalelam? Rashi says that it goes to the Rebbeinu Shalelam. Be'akshivu, and listen carefully, Ladas Bino, in order to know and to acquire Bino understanding. Some say that this goes on Hashem, some say it goes actually on a father too, and some say it goes on a Rebbe. Kilekach teiv nosati lochem, teirosi al tazevu, a familiar pasuk. For I've given you a good teaching. And teirosi al tazevu, do not forsake the Torah that I have given you. Right? Now, the idea is, v'akshivu ledaz bino. So first, it's going like Shlomo HaMelech, the way the Malbim learns, is giving over the teachings that he received from David HaMelech. That's another interpretation. Shimu Boni Musarov, listen to me, what my father chastised me and taught me. But in addition to hearing the Musar that my father gave me, so Hakshivu, pay careful heed, Ladaz Bino, to know that which I myself have furthered the wisdom that my father has given me. That means David HaMelech told him, Musarov, but Shlomo HaMelech took that and he pursued it, and from there he received more understanding. So for you to find the depth of understanding, listen carefully. Ki ben hayisi lo'ov. Now you have to realize, he says, that when my father told me, it was 100% for my benefit. Sometimes you would think that what kind of a father did he have here? I mean, he had a father who perhaps brutalized him, whatever, he wanted to go and do something. So the father would say, Mitolnit. So the father perhaps didn't like the son that much. And he just, there are people that have within them a terrible character. They molest their children mentally or whatever it is. So maybe I had such a father. So that's why he told me, Mitol Altsnitor. So he says, no, you should know, Ki ven hoyisi lo'ovi. From all the children that my father had, I was the closest one to him. Now it's going to David, meaning David always favored me. Why? Because although I wasn't a ben yochid for David, but rach ve'yochid lifnei imi. For Basheva, his mother, he was a very soft, a mezinke in a sense, he was very delicate, and a ben yochid. But in addition to yochid, he was rach. Rach, meaning soft and delicate, a child, livneimi. And since my father, David, loved Bathsheba so much, so therefore you could have realized that he was a very strong love for me. Now others, like Rashi, learned that it goes to the Rebbeinu Shalelam. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam considered Shlomo to be like his son. Like we read in Shmuel, that Rebbeinu Shel Olam said to him in the beginning of Shmuel Beis, if you will be a melech and you'll go bidrochai, I will be to you for a father and you will be to me for a son. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam taught me this. So therefore, either or David HaMelech taught me, you could rest assured that the basic reason why they did that, their concern was for my benefit. And according to Rashi, the word lifnei imi, where does the mother come in if you're speaking for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? So imi means like umosi, before my nation. That means I was the chosen of the Bnei Yisrael, and I was like the son of God. So therefore, you could rest assured the advice is correct. Vayoreini, he advised me with all this love. He taught me these things. And he said to me, Vayomer li, and he said to me, Yismach dvori libecha. Let my words, or the, if it's God speaking, it means the words of the Torah. Let that strengthen your heart. To Yitmach means to support your heart. Shmor mitzvosai, guard my mitzvos vechyei and live. So what does this mean? Yisvach dvorei libecha. So that means that he taught him the ways of chochma, and he said the heart, because the heart has the power over the person. That means the keach, the lev has the keach hamshola. Now, the nefesh normally moves around, and it doesn't stand in one place. The taive and the yetzer hara are very impetuous within you. I mean, it's like a child, behemes, until the child, when a child grows up, as he's developing, you take a look at a child a year, 2 years old, or 3 years, once he starts walking, the child doesn't rest a second. If you realize, he runs here, he got there, he runs there, he breaks this, he breaks that. You could just picture that. So the keach in the person, the nefesh in the person, is also the same way. The yetzer hara, we don't act like a child and running around and doing damage, but your inclinations and your desires are also, do not remain still. They move around. The way you could appreciate that is Shemoneh Esrei. That's the best proof. When you start standing Shemoneh Esrei, what we call silent meditation, right? So the Yetzer Hara is right away on you. In fact, they used to say that the Belzer, Chassidim, they used to daven up 1, 2, 3 Shemoneh Esrei. So why did they say that? How could they? They said they didn't want to let the Yetzer Hara on the wagon. The idea is, now we say that when we start davening Shemoneh Esrei, I always say you could start davening in New York City and you'll be in Los Angeles, right? In 2 minutes, right? I mean, your mind just moves in all different directions. If they want to get from one part of the country to the other, so they have to take either a train or a plane. Anachnu b'shem Hashem l'keinu naske. We just start Shemoneh Esrei. Boruch ato Hashem, and we're off to the races. We're in Chicago, Detroit, the ganze Welt fliegt sich durch. So the Teretz is because within the person, Rabbi Keller said that from Chicago. Tell your son, within the person himself, there are all of these moments. You're older, so you don't jump around like a child. It's on the child, the wildness, but we have within us this thing. And therefore, that's in the nefesh, and what rules it? The lev, right? So he says, Yismach dvore libecha, let my words give a little to sustain and help your spirit have control of your desires and inclinations, because you have the leadership, you have the message that you should try to subdue these inclinations and know in which direction to overcome them and overpower them. And al tishkach, and then it says further, shmor mitzvosai vechyei. And in addition to that, that if you keep my mitzvahs, although there will not be any reason or any wisdom that you'll get from it, the first part is dvorai, the wisdom, that will help you conduct your life, because you'll have the wisdom of the Torah. But then there are mitzvahs that you don't appreciate or understand the reason or the significance of it. So in those mitzvahs, he says, just by keeping them without any reason, shmor mitzvosai vechyei, this will also give you life. Shmor mitzvosai vechyei, this will give you life. Kinei chochma, kinei bino, acquire wisdom and acquire understanding. But even if you acquire wisdom and you acquire understanding, al tishkach ve'al teit me'im refi, do not forget and do not turn away me'im refi from the words of my mouth. Now the way they interpret it, that means first, the way they interpret it, I have a different simple interpretation. Acquire wisdom and acquire understanding, but do not engage in other things, it says, because you'll forget the Torah and transgress the commandments. So that means you should beware and watch yourself in your acquisition of other wisdom. Perhaps you'll forget the Torah and the commandments. The Rabbeinu Yehuda explains that Shlomo warns them not to forget the ethical teachings of the Torah because of one's intense engrossment in the study of wisdom. So he says, and this is also a very good interpretation, do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth, meaning the words of my mouth is essential observance of ethical teachings, and that can be more than the study of wisdom. A lot of times a person thinks that because he's engrossed in the study of Torah and so on, so he's free and he's exonerated in any way, and he could do whatever he wants in ethical matters. It's not that way. The fact is, al teit me'im refi, all right? Now, don't turn away from the observance of the commandments. Now, here also, when it says, k'nei chochma, k'nei bino, al tishkach ve'al teit me'im refi, the words of im refi means something which is not, we'll say, constitutional, or something which is not written, especially halachic. Imrefi is like the secrets or the words, the urgings that one is giving over to the other. Then you have the Shulchan Aruch, and we could appreciate it in our generation. In our generation, it seems that the Yetzer Hara again tries to find all different places. The previous generation didn't have to find, it didn't have too much trouble because the people weren't concerned with the Shulchan Aruch, right? But now they're concerned with the Shulchan Aruch, so they'll keep the Shulchan Aruch. You can end up keeping the Shulchan Aruch and going so far away from traditional Judaism that you can never really appreciate. Because the concept, I had this discussion with certain rabbis, young rabbis, they think that the greatness is always chodosh, always to come up with new ideas. That means you have the law, you just try, don't transgress the law. But you have no obligation for tradition, imre fi, the tradition that is handed out, that is handed down, mider deris, that's part of the law. The Chassam Sefer used to have a shlokvot that he would say, chodosh osu min ha-teira. You know, there's an expression, chodosh means the grain before you bring the sacrifice in Pesach, you're not allowed to eat from the new crop, min ha-teira. So he used to use this when he was living through the Reform Movement. There were all these new, supposedly innovations. Chodosh osa min ha-teira. Bracha of Klal Yisrael was, why did we reach this stage and without really getting lost? The truth is, when you analyze it, why did we reach this level? We've gone through thousands of years and so on. How were we able to continue to exist? So the Teretz is not only we keep the Shulchan Aruch and so on, but we keep the traditions of our fathers. And therefore, you'll notice, Yidden Kringen sich am Molner Beis Medrash, this is our minig, this is our minig. It's really not negay, you would say that much. You know, that's not against the halacha, so what's the difference? The Teretz is, it's very much a difference. Minhagim Yisrael, once you start ignoring minhagim and you ignore customs, so then you can know where you could end up. And we have this kind of a spirit now arising amongst our youth and being taught by our semi-youth, that the idea is that you could do really whatever new innovation I could find out, as long as I don't transgress this law of the Shulchan Aruch, it's already kosher, and you have to do it, and it's a mitzvah. And they don't realize that that's the beginning of the breakdown. So what he's saying here, you have very much to do. You have Knei Chochma, Knei Bina, learn Chochma, learn Torah, Al Tishkach, don't forget it. But the main thing is Al Teit Me'im Refi. They say ethical teachings, that's true. In certain situations it means from ethical teachings. Certain situations it means from traditional teachings. The Imrei Fi, meaning the traditional teachings of Judaism. Because once you start moving away, you won't be able to recognize anything in the next generation. You won't be able to recognize. All right, Altaz Vehor, but there are some people really that don't appreciate that, especially among the younger people. They don't really appreciate the significance of it. The Reya Yisrael, Meshur Abeinu, they counted the people when they gave him over to be the leader, and he counted the people when he gave back the leadership. The idea is that's what a leader is supposed to do. The truth is he's supposed to be a shamer. He's supposed to be a shamer, a Reya, and he's not supposed to be doing all kind of experiments. He's supposed to be the Reya Yisrael. According to the sheep that were given over, that's his obligation to give back. So if you don't forsake the Torah, then the Torah will guard you. Not only it will guard you, but she will love, if you love the Torah. Now sitzrecha is just like more than a shmirah. This is a stronger type of a guarding. There's a difference from keeping Torah and from loving Torah. You could tell the difference in all aspects of mitzvahs. There are certain people that they keep it, but you don't see the strong love. And there are certain people that you could just see the love that they have from doing a mitzvah. Now, everything, it reciprocates. If you just do the mitzvah, you guard it. You guard it, so the Torah will act the same. He will guard you. If you show the Torah this fervent, this love and this closeness and so on, so it will do more than guard you. It will guard you almost in a miraculous way, v'sintzarecha. So these are the two aspects that it's telling you. V'sitzrecha. If you have a hava, it will respond in time. Reishis chochma kenei chochma. Before you acquire wisdom, the beginning of wisdom will say, is to acquire wisdom. Now what does this mean, the beginning of wisdom is to acquire wisdom? Because if you didn't learn, then you don't have the material. So you can't say, you know, I'm just going to sit down and figure out what the proper thing is. But Reishis Chochma, we spoke earlier, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, that's a separate statement. But here you could say, the beginning of your wisdom, learn from others, like Rashi says. Acquire from others the tradition from the teacher. And afterwards, after you have that, ubechol kinyonecha, then you try to acquire understanding. Try to concentrate and understand the wisdom, bina. But reishis chochma kenei chochma. Begin with, you just take the teachings and you observe the teachings. Once you have that already, kenei vino, then you go in a little bit more and more in detail. In the learning, you could also say somebody could take one statement and then start discussing, dissecting, and then he didn't see the next page. If he would have first seen the next page, then it would have helped him a lot here. So first it says, reishis chochma, before you, kenei chochma, get the entire thing. And then, once you got the entire thing, then you can bina and go a step further and seek to understand it. But the main thing is salsaleho usreima mecha. It's like repeating the essence of verse 6. Once you have already this, salsaleho, salsaleho means like mesalsal besaro. The idea is touch it, pat it, hold it dear. And after you go ahead and you hold a deer, then it will elevate you. Techabdecho, if you give it honor, kisechabkeno, it will embrace you. That means if you honor the Torah will make sure that you will receive honor. And we know that this is the Memchas Dvorim Shatera Nikmis Bahem. If you look Pirkei Avos, it tells you there are 48 ideas concentrating around Torah. So first it says, me'at shino, me'at, if you can't sleep and you don't, you deprive yourself of the very things. And then if you deprive yourself, then you achieve Torah, but then the Torah gives you wisdom, understanding, knowledge, beauty in the eyes of people, because you have first gone ahead and you've sacrificed for the Torah. When you sacrifice for the Torah responds accordingly. Even with children, if a parent, I mean, if everything is proper and a parent sacrifices, or in a family, one sacrifices for the other one recognizes the sacrifice. It's deeper than more than the average. So what he's saying here also, if you go ahead and you pachkezich with the Torah, techabdecho, and you give it kovet, and you pat it, and you love it, so then the Torah will give you back kovet, titen l'reishcho, and it will also give for your head a livyaschein, a wreath, like a garland or a wreath of grace. It will be like a halo over you. A teres tiferes. Again, a crown of tiferes, of beauty. Te magnecho, it will give you over. So the Torah will give you these things also. Like some people will say, some Talmidei Chachamim, great tzaddikim, so people are drawn to them, their affection, they love them, and so on. Where did they get this? Because they reacted to Hashem accordingly. So Mela Hashem responds also accordingly. It's like we said Shabbos in the Ha'oras Ponim. If a person, we said when a person goes around distraught and despondent, so then Hashem reacts is also Yimei Betzora. But and if the person goes with a smile and so on, so that reacts with, so therefore the Beis Shalom begins to smile. So maybe you have the Horus Ponim of Hashem in response. So that's what he's trying to tell us. Now, Shema Bini, so what is Shlomo HaMelech, what is he saying so far in this paragraph or in this chapter that he hasn't said in the previous chapters? In this chapter, what he's trying to say is that he's going one step further than observing the mitzvahs. You know, I could do it, but I sure don't love it. So he says, no, the idea is that if you show more than just the observance, if you also show the love, so the Torah will respond accordingly. But Hashem will respond, like we say, Hashem tzilcho al yad yaminecho. The Rebbeinu Shleilam is like a shadow on your right side. If you ever go with a shadow, if you go closer, the shadow goes closer. The shadow does whatever you do. So really, you could establish a newer dimension in this relationship. That's what he said in the first 9 sentences. Now, Shema Bini, listen, my son, the Kacha Marai, again, and take my words, the Yirbu Lecho Shneis Chayim, and years of life will it increase for you. So you'll say, really, again, it's boring. Why? Because he told us that before. Didn't he tell us lekachtev? I mean, in different ways, he said, Shmor mitzvosai in verse 4, vechye, and it will live. So why does he keep on repeating this? What is he saying here? So some say that what he's saying is, again, Shma b'ni. What does he have to say, Shma b'ni? He's saying, the reason I'm saying this, my son, never forget, is you are my son. I love you. Before he only said, Yismach dvora libecho shmor mitzvasai v'chyei. But that you should keep the words of God, keep the mitzvahs. But now he's saying more, listen, my son. Now he's begging him almost, petitioning him as a father to a son, take my words and this will give you additional life because since I love you, I want you to bederech chokhma v'sicha. In the ways of wisdom I have taught you, and hidrachticha b'magle yesher, and I have brought you up in the paths of uprightness. Belechticha, when you walk forward, leyetzar tzeyadecha, you won't, when you walk, your step, leyetzar, your step will not be straightened. What does that mean? One who doesn't spread out his legs is likely fall. So therefore he's like saying that you won't stumble. Why? Because your step will not be straightened. You won't just go like this, but you'll be walking solidly. You'll be walking firmly. Your steps will not be narrow, because narrow steps you could fall. The idea is they will be firm steps. They im toruts, and if you will run, lo sikosheo, you will never stumble. Meaning, if you will run in the ways of the Torah, all right, you don't have to worry about it. Runners are likely to fall. So therefore, he's trying to say, no, that if you watch the way of the Torah, it will guide you and teach you how to go in these various ways. But, Hachzeik b'musr, take fast hold of discipline, al teref, and don't leave it go. Nitzrecha ki hichayecha. A lot of times, guard it because it's your life. A lot of times when you're running, you'll say, well, now I'm busy running, I can't hold anything in my hands. No, it's like a baton, you know, that you have in your hand. You don't drop off the musr and you run in your life, and then when you get there, you'll pick it up again. No, you think that you're going to run faster with it. A lot of people feel that way. When they're young, they have the burden of Torah and mitzvahs. They observed, and then they graduate to college, they go into there, and they're in the world. So now when they're in this world, they got to run. You know, you run in this world. So, but I can't carry this burden of Torah and mitzvahs with me. It's too heavy. I won't be able to run fast enough. I won't be able to run solid enough if my hands are full or I'm carrying a yoke. I'll pick it up at the end, once when I get my Social Security and I retire. So then I'll go back to before, and I'll pick it up then. So he says that's a big mistake. He says, Hachazek bim musar al teref. Hold on to musar, to the teachings. Don't leave it go. Nitzreo, guard it, because realize, kihi chayecho, that this is your life. If it's your life, and like he said before, it will make sure that you don't stumble. This is that which will give order to your life. Ve'erech rishoyim al tovo. Don't go in the ways of evil people, no matter how attractive it looks. Those who sin against God, they're ve'erech rishoyim. Don't go against those. And also ve'al te'asher b'derech royim. And don't find to walk te'asher, meaning don't go also, it's the same idea, hiluch, walking. Don't walk b'derech royim. What is the difference from rishoyim to royim? Because rishoyim are those who are evil towards Hashem. Royim are those who are evil towards their fellow man. So in your path in life, you should realize both things, that don't go b'derech rishoyim, but also don't go b'derech royim. Now, royim means you can keep all the mitzvahs towards God, and you're still a bad person. That's called b'derech royim. On the other hand, you could be supposedly a very kind person, right? B'derech tevim, but you're still a rosha because you don't keep your mitzvahs towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are two obligations that you have. Now, it's interesting when he uses in verse 12, he uses the idea, b'lech techo b'im torutz, if you walk and if you run. And in 14, he also uses the word erech and the word derech, meaning also ambulatory movement, like you walk in the road, you walk in the path. So he says the path of the rosha and the path of the raw is a guy who drops the mutzer and he drops the teachings and he runs in this path. But that's the path of rishoyim and that's the path of royim. They put down their pekel, they put down their burden. He says, the path might look pleasant, it might look attractive because there are no obstacles seemingly and there's no burden to carry. Just picture two people are going into the same business, they're putting in the same investment. This one has to be closed Shabbos, this one doesn't. So seemingly this person is accepting upon himself a fantastic obligation. He is closing Shabbos. But the truth is that that's absurd because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, if he wants to, could make it a very successful endeavor, even if you close Shabbos. Although what? There's somebody has a business in the city and he had a big investment in a big place. He's going to close Shabbos. He discussed it before he started. But of course he didn't. He said, I'm close Shabbos. And he's extremely successful. You really can't tell. Right? It would seem to be a burden, but he's extremely successful. Peroeyu al taver bo, avoid it. Al taver bo, don't pass into there. Shetei me'olov, like turn away from it. Take a different road, ve'avor, and pass, because it may look like an easy road, but it's not. Why? For this easy road, he says, you think that that's an enjoyable thing, but you realize, ki lo yishnu, they will not sleep, im le'yoreyu, if they don't commit evil. And v'nigzalosh nosom, And their sleep will be robbed away im lo yachshilu, if they don't cause other people to stumble. This is a very difficult thing, but in life, you see, it's not that. I mean, you can see everything, how true it is. There are some people who get involved in the path we'll call Rishoyim and Royim, the easy path. And whenever they cause someone else to stumble or to fail, that gives them a tremendous satisfaction. So much so that their whole purpose in life becomes, they have more money they could possibly want, and they don't have anything else, is to outsmart the other guy. In business, you have much like this. It becomes like a game of chess, and the main purpose is not winner take all, because you haven't, say, you have the same amount of money. If you win or you lose, the whole purpose is to outsmart the other fellow. After going it this way, I know one guy once came out to me recently, and he says, in a small matter, he says, I outsmarted that guy. It was like this was the whole purpose of outsmarting someone, right? And not only that, and if he doesn't outsmart him, so he can't sleep at night. Right? So this is what Shlomo is saying here. Ki lo yishnu. They can't sleep. Im le'yareyu. They sit down at night, you know, about tzaddik sits down and say, what chatoim did I commit today? And maybe I hurt somebody, maybe I did this. This guy sits down, you know, and he says, who did I kill? Nobody, I better get going. I mean, was v'chu avgiton, right. Vemen of v'chu avgiton, v'nigzele shnosam, the chilek is vos or vemen. V'nigzele shnosam im lo yachshilu. And it's like sleep is stolen away from them. The idea is, v'nigzel eshnosa means, even if they fall asleep, they're exhausted, they can't sleep. What first part is like you can't fall asleep. The second one is that you can't sleep even if you're sleeping. Im lo yachshilu, if they don't cause anybody harm. Ki lachmo lechem rosho. For you have to realize the bread that they eat is bread of wickedness. And that's why, like the halacha is, that it says, harei shegozal, the Gemara Brachos, if you steal a so chitim, the tochnon, the offon, ubarach, if he went ahead and he ground it and he baked it and he then made a bracha, ein zeh mevoreitz, this isn't called mevorech, elo menayetz. In the sense, he's not blessing God, but what he's doing is he's challenging, he's haunting God. Why? Because he earned this bread going in a different road, violating that which God told him not, and say, ah, here I have this bread, here's the bracha I'm going to make. It's akin to what I said before in life. You start out good, and then you forsake the path, and you come back in the path. This is all with intention. If it's tshuva, of course, tshuva always helps. But if your intention, your path is good, and then around this way, and then come back here, again, one of the problems is they feel, the term comes up a lot of times when parents say, well, my child's finally have to go out into the real world. They take him away from school, at a certain degree, finish the school, finish yeshiva, whatever it is, and now he goes into the real world. Now that itself, if you think into that, that's what Shlomo HaMelech is trying to say here. What is the real world? Is the Erech Rishoyim, B'derech Royim? Obviously, if you call the world out there the real world, then that's the real world. But that doesn't mean that that's the real world. The world is whatever you make the world to be. I mean, whatever you make the world, the Marsho always brings down Makshin Ho'elom. So remember, the Marsho, when he asks a question on the Talmud in the back, starts out a lot of times, Makshin, they ask Ho'elom the world. I mean, the world, how many people know who the Marsho is and who knows how to look? What world are you talking about? So there it says, which world is the world, right? If you would go ahead, I always use that muscle. You don't know what's important. Which cities in Europe remain in the mouths of individuals here? Rodin wasn't the biggest city, correct? No way. Rodin was Adelphile. Ho'elom, the world, was Vashe, Feister, other cities that weren't even Jewish, right? Now, if you'll take any young Jewish student in any school, 100, 200,000, and you'll ask, what city do you know in Poland? Rodin. So this is the world. It wasn't even on a map. Who knows the map of that? This is the world. So the world doesn't necessarily mean the great fantastic things that you see. The world means in what you're traveling in. So going out into the real world, is that the real world that we see there? All of us are mistaken in that. Even in the time of the Talmud, right? the Tiger Moor in Babasra, that someone's son became very faint and his soul left this world and it went up, you know, like in a near-death experience, it's called, and he came back, in the modern terms, and he came back here, so he said, what did you see up there? So the famous answer was, Elam Hofuch, I saw a topsy-turvy world. Elyonim, the real dignitaries, right, that are here, the Elyonim, the Cheshuvim, the honored people, they're Lamata. Up there, they seem to be sitting down at the bottom. And the Tachtainim, those here that sit by the kitchen door in the restaurant, Lamaila, there on the head table. So he says, you didn't see a topsy-turvy world. Elam Emes, you saw the true world that you saw. So really, worlds is, you can't say that's the world. There are a lot of worlds out there, right? In the world of art, we use an expression, in the world of science, in the world of medicine. There are different worlds. You have to pick the world. There's no such thing as a true world. And, you know, the real world, any world that you choose is real. If you choose their path, it becomes real. So it says here, Ki lochamu lechem lesha. Remember, their bread is bread of evil. You can't bring it for a bracha. V'yayin chamosim yishtu. And the wine that they drink the wine. What wine do they drink? The wine of violence. It's wine acquired through violence. And many times the redness is not the wine, but the blood. It's mamish. They're ruthless in that sense. So this is the world, but ve'erech tzadikim, if you pick the other world, the way of the righteous, keor noga, it is like the light, noga of dawn. What does that mean? It starts out light, and it may still be a little dim, right? And you're not sure that you still made the right choice. But the more you go, holech v'or, as you walk along, it becomes lighter, Ad nechon yom, until the day is perfect. You're starting out at alois hashacha, when the morning star comes out. It's still a little bit of dark, and you're saying, is this really the light? Is this really the good world that I'm going? It seems to be a little hazy, a little dark. But the more you travel, it becomes stronger until the light. He says, derech rishoyim ka'afela. But once the rishoyim, the evil, go into this world, it's like pitch darkness. And the more they get drawn into this abyss, le'yodu b'meh yikoshelu, they don't know what they're going to stumble on. You don't have the problem of stumbling because you're getting lighter and lighter. It's becoming clearer. So therefore, if it's clearer, you're going to see. You're going to stumble. But by them, they always have to worry on what they're going to stumble. They won't be able to see because their way is dark and there is no light there. They'll never be able to appreciate. Beni, so again, it's like a father speaking to a son at the end of another 10 sentences. Almost every 10 sentence, if you'll take a look. In sentence 1, he starts out with Shimu Boni Musarov. In sentence 10, he starts out with Shema Beni V'kacha Mori. And now in sentence 20, he's saying Beni, my son. So it's like reinforcing his teaching with a personal thing. L'dvorai Hakshiva. Listen to my words. Le'amorai, hate aznecha. Turn your ear to my saying. Al yolizu me'enecha shomram b'teich livavecha. Don't let them depart from your eye. And guard them b'teich libecha in your heart. Now the Rabbeinu Yena says that he's admonishing the son not to forget the commandments. Now, when you forget the commandments, it can happen in one of two ways. You actually forget the commandment itself, such as forgetting the prohibition of working on Shabbos or any other mitzvah, or by losing sight of a commandment temporarily. Like we have, l'moshel, we have in Shabbos, we're learning at night, klal gadol. There are certain people that they knew once, and they totally forget. The Gemara considers that as if he never knew. Shochach Iker Shabbos. It's as if he never knew that there is a Shabbos in the world. There are other people that they know, but they temporarily forgot, like what today is. So there are two different degrees of forgetfulness. So he says, one knows that he must recite the Shema, but at this moment, he slips his mind of that another person forgot the whole idea of the Shema. Right, now, because this one is aware, which one would you say is more careless? The second one. Because he's aware that there is really a mitzvah of Shema, but it's so unimportant that for temporarily it slipped his mind. The first one, whatever happened, it totally disappeared from his mind. Therefore, some say in the first time, talking to Gemara, he doesn't really have to bring a korban, because that's not really considered guilt, because that was a total forgetfulness. But if you are aware of it, but you let it temporarily lapse from your mind, so then your guilt is greater. So what he's saying, al yalizu meinecho. On the first one it says, the second type he says, don't let them depart from your eyes, meaning you're aware of it, just keep on looking at it and know when Shabbos is. Al yalizu meinecho. And the second one, when it's like uprooted from your entire being, you forgot the total thing, so he says, shomram b'teich livavecha, guard them in your spirit, in your heart, don't let it forever become uprooted. All right, now you could have, we'll stop here, you could have, like it seems from the Gemara, you could have people, and we know in life too, that, oh, I remember, they'll say, when I was a child, I went in Europe with pay, isn't it? But then they push it, they have gone so far, they don't remember anything about Shabbos or anything. It's totally, like, wiped away from them. That they have that type of person. You have another person, who knows, but it's not that important that he should bother to know that today's Shabbos, but he didn't forget it totally. So this is, on the two types that he's addressed, the one that totally forgot it and so on, he's not committing this crime, we'll say, the sin or trespass, interdiction every day. He forgot it one time. The other one just forgets every time because it's really not that important to him. It could be like in brachas, you know what I mean? There's some that forget the whole concept of saying a bracha. Many of us, we know that they have said bracha, but we're not aware. This time just lapses when we go to eat, so we could be negligent or hesitant in making a bracha. But we do have an awareness of a bracha. So therefore, there's two different kinds of forgetfulness that you can have by a person. Okay.